Bad news.
Bad news for the state.
Bad news for capital.
Bad news for patriarchy.
Bad news for all forms of domination.
Bad news. Angry voices from around the world.
Our monthly info show from anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio projects worldwide.
If these news are bad, I don't want to be good.
Hello, dear comrades. Welcome to another episode of Bad News, your favorite monthly news program, made with the effort of several international anarchist and anti-authoritarian radios and projects. In this episode, we will hear from the ongoing uprising in Serbia from the comrades from Radio Frequence A. We will also hear an interview from an interesting history of a squatted place in Zagreb, Croatia. This interview was made by Cerna Dugna. And we will also have an update of the protest in Greece and the state murder in Tempti 2 years ago. This interview was conducted by Paria's radio show from Athens. And the last collaboration we have is from Kilavo Seme, an agro program from Radio Student, conducted an interview with comrade from Cluj Napoca, Romania, that was organizing the second radical herbalist and microfields gathering from the 5th to the 8th of June. Enjoy!
Hi, thank you so much for taking time for us. Maybe we start with simple introduction with your name and affiliation, which makes sense for this talk.
Well, my name is Daško. I'm just a guy from Serbia. I'm doing a morning radio show with my colleague and partner for many years, and I've been active in many ways, in mostly in anti-fascist movement in Serbia, Novi Sad mostly. As I understood, I'm here to talk about the wave of uprising, revolt and demonstrations in Serbia in the past 3 months.
As we are recording from Germany, and we see that there are not so much news about what is going on in Serbia, in whatever languages we can read the news. Can you tell us some basics? Why the protest started? What are their demands? And how does it develop till now?
Well, on November 1st, a concrete canopy on a railway station in Novi Sad. A railway station in Novi Sad was recently renovated, redecorated and refurbished for also the railway itself was redone with the help of Chinese companies, much to disagreement with the EU. It was done with the Chinese partners. The official state of Serbia and the ruling party is quite affiliated with the Chinese government and their companies. So they did renovation of the railway station in Novi Sad. While it completely, the building was renovated. The building was built in like beginning of the 60s in 20th century. So it is quite old and it did need a renovation, but it was done just like everything else in Serbia. It was done with the highest level of corruption. There is a saying in Serbia that everything we do with the Chinese costs 3 times because you got to pay the Chinese, you got to bribe the Chinese, you got to bribe the domestic politicians, and 1/3 of the money goes for the actual work. So it was like this. Also, but I think they even outdid themselves this time because the corruption was so high that the price paid for the renovation was something like 6 times more than what was needed or calculated. But that wouldn't be such a problem for people as we are quite used to the corruption. But the problem broke out when even such a high price was paid, the canopy broke down and it killed 15 innocent people just waiting for their buses or trains. The canopy was basically covering the whole length of a building of the railway station, and in a second it just snapped and it was heavy. It was heavier than, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 tons. It was just a huge piece of concrete, metal and glass that fell on people, killing them instantly. And two more people are still fighting for their lives in hospital after all these years. They're in some sort of medically induced coma with really low chances of survival. So basically it could be 17. But so far, it's 15 people. And that was the thing that basically broke the straw that broke the camel's back in Serbia. Because, you know, as we are quite used to the corruption, this was a whole new level, because this time people were really, really, really alarmed and scared, because it wasn't just, you know, corruption that hits somewhere else. It's a corruption that hits directly to you. It hits you. It can hit you anywhere. And basically, it just shows that nothing that the state is building or renovating can be trusted. And in the days to follow, it was revealed that, I mean, government was in panic, and they realized that they've been doing these fake and overpriced jobs that can just, you know, start breaking down everywhere. So they did some sort of controls on all the stuff they did. And a lot of things were found in these extra inspections that are unsafe. But the thing is, government, especially President Vucic and his government, are their whole image is that they are big builders and renovators. So this is kind of a direct damage to their main thing. And the thing is also that also kind of added to the flames of the protest is a thing that the president said that he went straight to tell the national television, as he does like three times a day. And he went straight to national television to calm people down and telling them, oh, you know, it's our fault. We forgot to renovate the canopy. Everything we did, everything was perfectly done, except for that canopy. We forgot to renovate it. And it was just, that was like a blatant lie that everybody could check with their own eyes, as that railway station has been, you know, opened in a very pompous and very celebrational manner. Was opened two times. He did it. He opened those things two times, especially showing the new canopy, basically. And so it was a huge lie that triggered people to go out in the streets and protest. But, you know, also it prompted students to block their faculties, to block the universities. And since the political life in Serbia is almost crushed down by the regime and political parties are almost dead and gone, so this was a new and completely different way of protesting, as it was led by the students. And people who do not have faith in politicians had faith in students. So it was when students called people out on the streets, people, you know, replied. So it's massive, and it's still going strong.
Yeah, it's already going quite a long time now. And what would you say, what are the reasons that this protest is going on for that long? Or, I mean, usually after a while, things calm down and so on. And so it's still going on, and there's still people mobilized, and it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, that is because those students gave four basic demands for these protests. And that's like, you know, independent and professional investigation of what happened, publication of all contracts signed with the Chinese and other subcontractors, demand for an honest, basically people demanded, you know, responsibility, and demanded those responsible to be apprehended and brought to the in front of a face of justice. So those things were not those demands were not fulfilled. So basically, that's why the protests are still going. The government is lying that they did fulfill these demands, which is also a thing that you can easily check with your, you know, eyes and ears. That is not true. There have been some sham arrests and some basically what they did. It's really funny to see how in like 100 day period, the same people tried different things, you know, and whatever didn't work, they just moved on to another fraud and sham. And people are basically now seeing through that. Once the president was out on television bringing out these huge, you know, files of like papers that were just, it was visible to the naked eye that those were just an empty folders that contained nothing. And he said, here's the complete documentation about the renovation of the station, and here I'm just giving this straight to the prosecutor. And then people said, why the fuck are you giving them to the, who are you? You're just a president. The president has like a very limited number of his responsibilities and duties and prerogatives. You are not the one who should be doing this. And basically, it's an attack on Vucic's 12 year of complete usurpation of power. And what he is angry about is basically that these demands are basically putting him back in his constitutional guidelines, which he is being constantly ignoring and shitting on for the past 12 years. And this is the first time in this period that somebody said, okay, that's not your job, that's not your authority, that's not your jurisdiction. You are not the one to be doing this. And he just got used to doing these things, basically being an autocrat that he is, and everything that basically he is the center of all power. And for the first time, people are saying like, no, that's not your job. You know, why should you give any evidence to the prosecutors? You should let independent investigation take place. And then he's been lying. You know, I've done this, I've done that. All of your demands have been met and you should be going back to your schools and stop blocking everything. But also in the meantime, while people were gathering in the streets to protest, all of these protests had one thing in common. They would always contain a 15 minutes of you know, silence, 15 minutes some sort of tributes to those killed under the canopy. And in the first 10 days of such protests, the government, which ruling party, which is just a huge narco cartel with its paramilitary wing of football hooligans and other basically just mobs who beat up people, they did something really, really stupid and wrong. And they were sending people in cars to run over people protesting in these streets, because usually protests took place in streets, in the driveways, and in the streets where the traffic is running. So that even fanned the flames of protest even more. And that's why these protests are going on and still going on, because government is, 1 week they're trying to act like good cop, and 1 week they're trying to act like a bad cop. So all in all, it just gets people more angry and frustrated.
As I read, the whole protest in Serbia is quite special, but also one special thing is that there is no leader, and it is also a political decision that students, who are the drivers of the protest, had just decided that there should be no leader and to kick out oppositional parties to be involved in the organization of the protest. Can you tell how does it function that there is no leader, or that nobody is taking over the leadership?
Yeah, the best thing, that approach has also its very advantages, but also it has its flaws. The advantages are basically that this government, with its huge apparatus of media, tabloid, you should understand in Serbia, everything runs on this regime is basically running on drug smuggling, crime, and other kinds of corruption. But basically, what keeps people docile is this huge media apparatus of basically just crushing people, of mass, you know, character assassination in public. Anyone who raises a voice against this regime gets a huge smearing campaign in tabloids, the worst you can imagine, which is usually followed by getting beaten up in the streets and arrested and shit like that. So when a protest or organization has no visible leader that you can pinpoint all these things on, it's harder for them to find somebody to target and to crush. And that is the upside of leaderless protests. And these students are basically making all decisions in a direct democratic way through their plenaries, and it looks like anything that you could see in from Paris to Belgrade in 1968. It's one of those, you know, really anarchist hippie kind of communal stuff. And that worked. I mean, but also it can, and it is good that, you know, government and the Secret Service has nobody to target. But on the downside, it's pretty much gets you it pretty much after two or three huge street demonstrations, those things can kind of reach their maximal potential and then going to work against you, in a sense that politically those you don't get any, like, you know, political action. And the thing is, you're kind of playing into regime's hands when you are saying, oh, we don't want to, this is not political, we're beyond politics, which is basically bullshit, because this is like a classic example of a political protest, and it should be a political protest. While the students are pretty much okay with a lot of things, this is in my opinion not a way to go, and it will bring protests to some sort of a standstill or even the end, because you cannot just go on and forward without political articulation, you know. And right now that's not really possible, because that is not a homogenous group. Those people come from all walks of life, all walks of, even those kids who, students themselves, are, some of them are leftists, some of them are nationalists. The more and more nationalism gets involved, in the last couple of these student public manifestations, you can see the increased number of right-wing students, right-wing organizations, right-wing iconography, calling for classic nationalist bullshit that you can hear from the. And to me, that is the sign that the regime and the Secret Service kind of found a loophole in those direct democratic processes to actually implement the forces that are against any kind of democracy, not just a direct democracy. So it's, as I said, it has its advantages and it also has its disadvantages. I hope they will find a way to make it work again in benefit for all of us.
Por todo el planeta y hay muchos caretas que piensan que la meta capitalista es que todos podamos tener algún día la camioneta que cabeza más concheta. Tienen plena confianza en esta mierda y se piensan que esa paz que te da el poder de explotar, esa paz que te da el poder de emplear, sepan en el planeta. Todos sabemos que la meta es la plata, la merca, las armas y la cometa. Todos sabemos que te están saqueando, al primer mundo están emparchando. Lo que realmente se expande por el mundo es la muerte de este sistema inmundo. Se expande en el planeta, la resistencia es el sistema y es un enema. Salta la roca y es un bochorno, que no sabe que son todos chorros. Si te enteras de hoy, será de capital, si queda un puesto de laburo. Seguro que está acá por comer un día más. Me puedo concentrar y no pensar. Descansar el valero, esa es el lema para el obrero.
Organización internacional, revolucionaria contra el capital, contra los burócratas, contra la patronal, contra el Fondo Monetario Internacional.
Ese coso no era un mocoso, era un grosso de la cantora. Míralo ahora que fue la moda. Lo que todos sabemos está prohibido. Vos sos el reflejo de los dormidos. Defender a la compañía no es cosa mía, no es cosa mía. Y con la cara del artista combate su problema de la piratería. No es cosa mía. Van a usar a primerísima figura. Hay millones que no facturan ni laburan por la culpa de tu estructura. Compañía, radio censura. Todo para vos, el Estado te ayuda. El Estado que te tortura con su democracia, con su dictadura. Está más cerca de darle ayuda a los que viven de esta basura. El Estado que te tortura con su democracia, con su dictadura. Está más cerca de darle ayuda a los que viven de esta usura. Organización internacional, revolucionaria contra el capital, contra los burócratas, contra la patronal, contra el Fondo Monetario Internacional. El que piense que Dualde no es igual, tiene que entender que no es así. Este es otro hijo de puta y hay que matarlo. Todo aquel que piense que Dualde no es igual, tiene que entender que no es así. Este es otro hijo de puta, hay que matarlo. Ay, no hay que pagar ni a la banca internacional ni los impuestos nacionales.
Poklicali ste Črno luknjo in njeno kontrainformativno mrežo. Po pisku oddajte svoj glas.
In Črna luknja, vi called in Zagreb Croatia, where comrades occupied new space in order to establish a free shop. Since in Croatia we have a big mobilization to boycott shops due to the expensive food they are offering.
We would like to ask you a bit about Jabbat. What is it? What's the plan with it? How it works?
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for the interest. Jabbat is like a free shop. We just opened it a couple of weeks ago. Actually, our first day was on Valentine's Day. We had this idea for a very long time, actually, to have a more central free shop where it's super accessible for people to come. And then suddenly we were just inspired to do it. And for now, the plan is to have it open every Friday, almost all day. I think we're open usually from noon until 6. And people can come in to bring some stuff that they no longer use. But actually, we even invite more people to come and take the stuff because we have so much. and I think it's kind of obvious people are more willing to give away things than take. So now we have a lot of clothes, and it'd be nice if people can come and want to check it out. And we also have food, and this is really nice. This we recycle every week, so people can have food to take, like fruits, vegetables, random things we find, like chocolates. Dish soap. People started bringing also hygiene products and things like this. We just invite everybody to come and take whatever they need or want.
It sounds super nice and really nice that you managed to open it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, this was a happy coincidence because we were actually more planning for it to coincide with the boycott because there was now for a few weeks in Croatia this boycott that every Friday it was every week people would boycott different supermarket chain, but then on Fridays it was total boycott of everything, all spending. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to give people some space where they can come and really boycott and just take the things that they need. So this is why we chose the Fridays also.
No bastard ever came home from earning $8.25 an hour feeling proud. Minimum wage, just a fancy term for industrialized slavery. We're in a war with the privileged. Those aren't streets you're sitting on, they're battlefields. And it is our duty to fight the comfortable and the overfed. So go forth, you sons of bitches.
Iz bojišč razredne vojne poroča Črna luknja.
Nosotros tenemos que ser muy cagones para no defender los jubilados.
¡Cagón!
Nos está haciendo pasar hambre a todos los jubilados. Y gracias a toda la gente que nos vino a apoyar hoy.
Acá no hay barras bravas, acá está el pueblo defendiendo a los jubilados.
¡Hombre grande, hijo de puta, mirá!
Me están pegando barra brava de 85 años, de 90 años, que se quedan parados delante porque cobran 273.000 pesos.
Mirá si yo lo voy a bancar los jubilados.
Hay que lucharla, sin lucha no se consigue.
Más ganas de luchar.
Mirá, me bajaron dos dientes en esa esquina.
¡Vengan los abuelos, por favor!
¿Cómo lo van a reprimir si estamos todos locos? Perdimos todos los valores.
Hello, comrades. Here is Parias from Athens, and this is my contribution for this month's bad news. Today with us is Omar, who was hosting a radio show in Radio Zones of Subversive Expression, and today he will talk about Tebi. So let's begin. First of all, I want to tell us what happened 2 years ago in the Tebi area.
So there was a head-on collision of two trains traveling single file opposite directions down the same line. 57 people died in the Tempe Valley, mostly university students and young people. They were choosing the train as an affordable and safe means of transport.
Okay, what did the government do the first hours and days, and how did it deal with their relatives who wanted more information?
They blamed the whole thing on a single train line operator who was working alone and was inexperienced. He turned out to be the ruling party's illegal hire as a political favor. The thing is that there was a multitude of safety systems missing, with even one of them that could have saved so many people. The Prime Minister was planning the opening for one of those systems, a system that never was there in the first place. It was to be on the next day, after the accident. The train drivers had been doing strikes and sending legal notices to the Minister of Transport concerning the non-existent safety measures. The courts ruled the strikes illegal. The minister was saying that he felt shame for hearing of safety concerns about such a safe train system just a week ago before the collision. He said that in the parliament, during parliament session. The government employed the usual media, with journalists blaming everyone else than the government, ending up blaming even the relatives of the victims for speaking up.
Okay, how did it become a major news issue again?
The whole thing never died down as an issue. Massive protests were being held every now and then, but recently there was an audio file that came to light. It was a call to 112, the European safety line. It was a call by survivors from the crash asking for help, and they were saying they have no oxygen and they ended up dying. The cause of death could be suffocation or burning, but the government bagged up the bodies and destroyed the biological samples after 40 days with no toxicological tests.
Why do they say there was a cover-up?
This was a major issue since the first moment. The state ordered a complete and immediate digging of the site, followed by paving the site and leaving no evidence behind. They hid the material in undisclosed location for 14 months, about 300 tons of material, with biological remains of the victims, like bone, hairs, cartilage. It was all exposed to the weather, insects, and wild animals. The victims' relatives found the dumping site on their own. The state wasn't disclosing anything. Another thing was this great fireball that happened during the collision. Chemical engineers hired as special investigators by the relatives used the state's chemistry findings and came to the conclusion that the commercial train, not the passenger train, was carrying many tons of illegal material, probably hydrocarbon solvent for fuel tampering. This was what ended up killing about half of the 57 people, maybe 30 of them. The state even now denies this fuel existed, and paid an expert on monument lighting, of all things, to say it was an ignition of silicon fluids in the train. Simply impossible. All the video files for loading the train were claimed to be lost, overwritten or non-existent. The public prosecutor didn't order the seizing of CCTV files until 2 years later, even when the relatives were asking for it again and again, with the video surveillance company claiming that everything had been erased. They ended up providing some hard drives, many terabytes of data, that the prosecutor refused to include in their report.
Why do we say it was a state crime?
This is a matter of public safety, and its roots go way back. The so-called radical left government of Syriza privatized the trains and completed the best part for some of the safety measures. The private company was actually the Italian public train company, selling us their discarded trains. After that, the government of Nea Dimokratia made little to no progress that was partially destroyed by floods. I'm talking about the safety measures. Even after the collision, the vice president of the ruling party publicly confessed that they knew the trains were unsafe and they tried to keep it a secret because they didn't want to reduce the company's profits. He just confessed it. Of course, it's a crime of the state.
Now tell me about the 28th of February of 2025.
So after the audio file leaked to the media, we had protests of hundreds of thousands in more than 100 cities in Greece and around the world. The first one was like more than 200,000 people in the 26th of January, and then one even bigger in the date that you mentioned. This one gathered up to 2 million people, with protesters gathering even in South Korea, Japan, Iceland, and Argentina. This protest for Tempe was combined with the largest strike of the last 50 years. Even airports, taxis, ports, pharmacies, bookshops, universities, and everything else was shut down. The protests have been going on weekly now after that, and the police keeps getting more and more brutal. So many people come to a protest for the first time in their lives and see that you can be beaten, gassed, and arrested for doing absolutely nothing. This is radicalizing lots of people, and they stop believing the news and various conspiracy theories.
What about provocatorologia?
Okay, yes. This is the most prevalent conspiracy theory. Right-wing media, state media, the Communist Party, and other parties too, try to paint clashing and rioting on secret police agents acting as insurgents. I don't know if this is a conspiracy theory in your country too. I hope it's not. But in Greece, the general public thinks that anyone clashing with police must be a police secret agent because, fuck logic, I don't know. Acting so that the riot police can have an excuse to attack the protest. This is a result of decades of disinformation campaigns by the state, and to be honest, also by the Communist Party that signed a non-violence waiver in order to be legalized. It was illegal for many decades. They also don't recognize anarchist existence in any way, so there's that. Nobody wants to. In the end, no matter the various sources of this conspiracy theory, it ends up benefiting the state and nobody else.
How did the government respond to all this?
The government is in absolute panic, alternating between threatening the protesters and victims' families, saying that the protests were actually pro-government, next day saying that the protests wanted to overthrow the government and democracy itself. They're in absolute panic, changing every mode and setting with each passing hour.
How it's going on?
The vast majority of the public has no trust for the government. I mean 70 to 80% by many recent polls. These have been probably the biggest protests since 1944, and they even turned out intercontinental. They're not protests in favor of other parties ruling, but they're protests against the political system that time and time again proves to be so merciless and corrupt.
Okay, Omar, thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice speaking to you.
Faltan ahí por todas, impune está la V Vitomarcih pomor čebeljih družin. Kako bo letos organizirana obramba pred točo?
Listke imam zelene in prav lepo dišim.
Ovogodišnji agrarni budžet nije ne izbliza u iznosu onom koji odgovara poljoprivredi.
If you are contaminated by Monsanto's GMOs, you no longer own your seeds or plants.
Zdravo seme!
Agroprogram
Radio Student.
Hello Dan, do we hear each other?
Hello, yes.
Hey, super, well. Very nice. How are you?
I'm good.
Super, good is good. Super.
Yeah.
So, like this, this year in June, the Radical Herbalist Gathering will be held for second time. This time in Cluj. Can you tell what is the idea behind it?
Yes, so this radical herbalism gathering first happened last year in a farm in Austria. It's an initiative that came from several people from different countries which wanted to educate themselves and others about herbalism and herbal medicine. And after last year meeting, there was a group that formed to continue organizing these meetings every year. And we will do it next one this year in Cluj. The main idea of the meeting this year will be to create some stronger links between groups and individuals in the radical scene which are interested in these topics and would like to build together a network of herbalists, gardeners that can provide for the future relevant resources, skills, and to support our groups and the larger community we are involved in.
Okay, thank you. And to be concrete, can you provide us with some information of this event, when it will happen and where, and where we can find some more information and how it will be organized, just like logistic things and something?
Yes. So the event will happen between 5th and 8th, 5 to 8th of June. It's going to be in Cluj, in the city, this time, not in a farm. And will be hosted by the local collective Cultivo Orașul and in the Acasă Social Center. It will be 4 days of workshops, discussions. There will be also a demo. The program is self-organized, so anybody can contribute. It's not something set. Everybody that comes contributes to the program and can propose different sessions. And like part of the ideas that already came in as proposals are different workshops on herbal first aid, herbal care for trans or queer bodies, how to set up a herbal garden, how to save seeds. We will also have some walks outside the city or in the gardens managed by the local gardening collectives in order to identify and forage plants and mushrooms which can be used for medicinal purposes. We also want to do this year some sessions to prepare medicine together, like tinctures, oils. And the idea with this product that we will do is to distribute them afterwards to people on the move or to homeless people or disadvantaged persons. Then for sure there will be discussions on different topics like politics of agriculture, herbal solidarity with prisoners, the land right in the context of gentrification of our cities and collective care structures. So we also want to do a demo, an anti-gentrification demo, where we will have a seed exchange and do some guerrilla gardenings, and it will happen in one of the parks that was completely destroyed by the local authorities, and the biodiversity was wiped out through renovation. But that's just some ideas of the program, but maybe more will come. And we will host people in the social center and in tents and in people's places. It's good if people come, let us know beforehand so we can fix the accommodation for everybody. We will cook together and it's a self-organized camp.
We are also wondering, like, if you could say briefly why radical herbalism is also politically important.
We think that this knowledge is lost, and is lost because it's taken over by the big companies and the big capitalist system, which gives us options only for certain medicines which are produced like large scale. And we think it's really important to go back to relearning these practices so we can be autonomous when it comes to how we can offer healthcare support to ourselves and to our community. And like here in Cluj, we always say you can do gardening anywhere and in the city, and our struggle besides just to produce food is also to produce this like useful plants like herbs and medicinal plants in the city and use the land for that, not for development like it's now. So it's a struggle for land, but also for what can be used, all these products, to support our movements.
Do you have some Facebook site or something like this?
Yeah, for now it's just the website, the call out that was sent through different networks, and we will do a bit more promo of that. There is basic info there. Anybody can write us at radical_herbalism at riseup.net if they have more questions. But we, for now, there is no social media for this, and also no blog. It was pretty new initiative, and it's very decentralized and self-organized, and best is through mail to get more information.
Thank you. Then maybe for the finish, do you have anything to add?
I want to take the opportunity to invite people that listen to you, and hopefully, we really hope this year many more people will come from East Europe and the Balkan region. So please spread the info to people that might be interested. I will be really happy to have more comrades from this part of Europe with us in June.
Yes, we will. thank you for the
thank
interview. Be good, and we are in contact for sure.
Take care. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thanks to today's mechanized farming, there's more time for the family to visit in the town nearby. Time for the boys and girls to meet friends for a swim before the pool closes for the winter. Time to shop for new clothes, to look at new equipment.
Kirovo Seme!
Agroprogram
Radio Student.
Ukazujem vam da prenehate s kršitvijo javnega reda i miru!
We're right in the middle of Sindhama Square right now. Police is behind me.
Many police officers have been hurt. Men and women who are trying to protect democratically elected leaders.
Bad news. angry voices from around the world. Local anarchist and anti-authoritarian radio shows on one spot.
Tune in every 15th of the month.
More information on a-radio-network.org.
What's a revolution to you? To kill the bosses and take their money.